Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. Tonight's terrifying story happened around 3 months ago, the night before Halloween, when a group of four friends scheduled this hiking/camping trip together, arriving at different times due to their different schedules. But once they had arrived, they noticed that they were not alone. Something was stalking them in the woods around their campsite. Something huge and full of fur that walked on two legs, but also four. What it was? Stick around. Now let's get spooky. If only Jolene hadn't worn that stupid mask, things may have ended differently. I might have called off the whole trip and saved everyone. It all started as I stood at my mailbox, waiting like a little kid who had just ordered a toy from a cereal box. The mailman usually came at 3 o'clock, never fail, unless something had happened. I stood at my mailbox staring at my watch that read 3:10. So what was the holdup? Did he have a flat tire? Did a terrorist attack? Did a bear grab him when he was trying to deliver me my precious delivery? As I was just about to turn and go back to the house, I saw a little yellow light flashing on top of a car coming my way and nearly jumped out of my skin. This was it. If it didn't come today, there was no way I would have time to order another one before leaving for the camping trip. The car slowly pulled up to the mailbox and I said hello. Instead of putting the mail in the box, he handed me a few letters and looked away. My heart sank as he turned and faced the road. "Isn't there anything else for me?" I said, trying to keep the desperation out of my voice. He turned and looked in the back seat. "Oh, wait, it looks like there's something I forgot," he said, reaching into the back and handing me a brown envelope with the address on it I'd been looking for. He smiled and waved as he drove off, leaving me holding my prize. This was going to be a good camping trip now. I nearly skipped back to the house, threw the other mail on the table without looking at it, before ripping open the package. There it was, my glorious book light. I'm an avid reader and an avid camper. It's always been a struggle to read during camping trips. I took along various battery-powered lamps and flashlights, but nothing seemed to work for me. Getting comfortable enough to really settle into my book was a challenge. When I saw this light advertised on Instagram, I instantly knew this was what I needed. It was a light that wrapped around your neck with a light at each end that would shine on the book. There was no doubt it would be perfect, and I ordered one right away. Finally, I could finish packing for the camping trip. My friends and I loved to go hiking and camping. With a huge state park so close, it was a no-brainer that we would be there as often as possible. Every time we decided to go, we would all meet up at the trailhead and hike to the site together. This time would be the exception. There were scheduling conflicts, and if we wanted to go at all, it wouldn't be at the same time. Dawn and Rose could barely get away for the weekend. They would have to catch up to us later at the campsite. At the last minute, even Jolene called and said she was running behind and might not make it until later. In retrospect, I should have seen it coming, seeing what the date we had set up for our trip. But instead of canceling and choosing another time, I just shrugged it off as conflicting schedules and hefted my backpack, then started down the trail. Being by myself on this trail never really bothered me before. I hiked this trail many times and never had a problem. I decided to go early and get the camp set up so we could have maximum time together. My schedule had been cleared for the entire trip, and I was going to take full advantage. The sun had set until I started down the trail, and it would be dark by the time I got to our campsite. Hiking at night wasn't the best thing to do, even though I knew the trail. But aside from getting camp set up, I was also excited to use my new book light. It worked surprisingly well lighting up the trail and made it much easier to use my walking stick for more difficult parts of the trail. Taking it slow, moving at my own pace, and enjoying as much scenery as I could with a luxury I was enjoying. Usually, Don would lead the group and drive us hard until we got to camp. I wanted to get out my book and read as I walked, but I figured that would be tempting fate and I had no desire to faceplant on the trail after discovering a tree root the hard way. As I walked, lost in thought, suddenly the forest became eerily silent. The birds stopped singing, squirrels stopped chattering, even crickets stopped chirping. It was so quiet I could hear my own footsteps. It was very unsettling. I stopped and slowly turned around, using my light to search for anything unusual. After a full circle without seeing anything out of the ordinary, I turned to shake off the feeling and just kept going. It didn't take long for me to begin speeding up. Every step was somehow more desperate than the last, as if getting to my campsite would somehow protect me from whatever was out there, making the animals and creatures of the night afraid to make a sound. By the time I could see the clearing where we camped rising in the distance, I was power walking, nearly running. All of a sudden, the noises started back up again as if someone had flipped a switch, or I had somehow stepped out of some invisible danger zone. I paused and turned back to see if there was any physical sign of what had happened. If there was some creature lurking behind me or something, but there was nothing. And nothing seemed to be even more unnerving. It wasn't until later, after everything was over, that I realized how stupid it was for me to travel this trail by myself, let alone in the dark. I guess it was a combination of things that made me do it. First of all, just the disappointment of everyone nearly canceling at the last minute. Second was my surprise package that came on time, and just wanted to use this cool new light in any way I could. But the really big thing that did it for me was my stubbornness. I had decided I was going camping come hell or high water. I didn't realize it would be the former. It didn't even register that I was heading out alone on a trail at night on October 30th, the day before Halloween. It didn't take me long to get my tent set up and I didn't bother with a fire. I just dove straight inside and zipped up the entrance, somehow believing that the thin layer of tent material would keep me safe from anything that went bump in the night. I laid there on the bare tent floor, breathing hard in sheer terror, wondering why I was so frightened. There hadn't been any tangible proof of anything following me. I had seen nothing. What had gotten me so worked up? This is what I told myself over and over until my breathing slowed back to normal as I unpacked my backpack to settle in. Once I was secure in my sleeping bag, I finally dug out the book I'd brought along for the trip. It was a domestic thriller called Secrets, about a woman whose life had turned upside down. I turned on my light and began reading. It didn't take me long to become so engrossed in the story that the world around me disappeared. That was when the adrenaline crash from the fear grabbed my face and said, "You're going to sleep now." Sometime later, I woke and pulled my face out of the small puddle of drool that had soaked into my sleeping bag. I sat up, wiped my mouth, and stretched. To my great surprise, the book light was still on, and I hadn't broken it by laying on it. The darkness outside had given way to a dull gray. It must have been just before sunrise. Pulling myself out of the sleeping bag gave me an instant reminder of how cold autumn mornings can be in the forest. While pulling on my jacket, I froze. There was something or someone moving around just outside my tent. Zipping up my jacket quietly, I slid towards the zippered tent window in hopes of getting a closer look. My hands shook as I pulled the tab slowly, hoping to make as little noise as possible and sneak a peek at whatever was out there. My eyes slid to the opening and peered out. All I could see through the slit was dim outlines of the trees through the growing morning light. I scanned around as much as I could through my limited view when suddenly a pair of glowing eyes appeared in the window. I screamed and threw myself backwards onto my sleeping bag, landing with a thump that took my breath away. The shadow of the creature moved from the window to the main tent flap. I laid there helpless as the zipper undid itself and the hideous face of the monster poked itself inside. It roared so loud I clapped my hands over my ears. My life flashed before my eyes as it slowly entered the tent, growling and snarling. Regret filled me. Why didn't I wait for my friends? But then they would have died with me. Maybe it was better they were late. They would find my horribly mutilated and possibly eaten body, but they might survive if they ran away. As these thoughts chased each other around my brain, I noticed something. The creature was wearing a sparkly bracelet. Not only that, but it seemed to have a manicure. Now that I looked more closely, it was wearing a t-shirt and sweatpants. I reached up and grabbed the creature's face, then ripped it off with all my might. "Ouch!" it said as the fur came loose. In a heartbeat, I was holding the creature's face in my hand and Jolene stood there rubbing her ears. "You think you could yank my ears off next time?" she said. "Sure, after I'm done having a heart attack, you jerk." She smiled, still rubbing her ears. "Happy Halloween!" "Screw you," I said, throwing the mask at her and storming out of my tent. "Wait, you're not really mad, are you?" I heard her say from behind me as I tromped down the trail. I didn't bother to turn, answer, or even slow down. "Where are you going?" she said. The thought registered in my head, but I couldn't seem to answer the question. Where was I going? I was just stomping down the trail with no destination in mind. The sun was peeking over the horizon as I passed a clearing in the trees. Without thinking, I slowed to a stop and stood there admiring the simple, elegant beauty of the sunrise. I heard and felt a presence beside me as I stared into the rising sun. "Beautiful, isn't it?" Jolene said. I turned to her and smiled. "I should throw you off this cliff," I said. She took a step back, her eyes filled with uncertainty. "Sucks being afraid, doesn't it?" I said. "Yeah," she said, staying a healthy distance away from me. "I guess it does." "You know what you should do with that mask?" I said. "I'm sure you have a few creative suggestions," she said carefully. I turned to her with a gleam in my eye. "You should scare the hell out of Dawn and Rose." Her look slowly transformed from fear to confusion as the edge of her lips slid up into a grin. It was late afternoon when Dawn and Rose came huffing and puffing up the hill to our campsite. I had started a campfire and made some lunch. There was also some coffee brewing on the fire. "Well, you two sure took your time," I said, poking at the fire and adding another piece of wood. "You're lucky we came at all," Dawn said. "I was going to call and cancel." "Like Jolene did?" I said, trying my best to sound upset and disappointed. "Are you kidding me?" Rose said, dropping her backpack. "After we busted our butts to get up here?"
"Afraid so," I said.
"That's great," Dawn said, pulling her cell phone out of her pocket. "You wait until I talk to her." I wasn't sure if Jolene had silenced her phone or not. Jolene's call could ruin the whole prank. My mind searched frantically for something to do. "Don't bother," I said. "I already tried calling her this morning. It went straight to voicemail."
"Huh,"
Dawn said, putting her phone back in her pocket. "She's probably snuggled up in bed sleeping."
"Well, at least you two made it," I said, pointing to the logs around the fire. "Take a load off."
They looked at the log with disdain, but shrugged and sat. I guess exhaustion will lower your standards regarding where you rest. We chit-chatted for a while, mostly about how upset we were with Jolene for skipping out on us. Then I helped them set up their tents. We had just finished when, off in the distance, we heard a roar and a scream.
"What was that?"
Dawn asked, looking around trying to determine which direction it had come from.
"I don't know," I said, putting on an Oscar-level performance of looking frightened while trying not to smile.
Jolene had outdone herself. She said she would look for roaring sounds on her phone. I didn't know her phone could get that loud. Light was just beginning to fade, making it even harder to see if there was anything coming out of the trees towards us. Rose was having a full panic attack.
"What do we do? What do we do?" she said.
"Let's just go in our tents and hope that whatever it is doesn't care about finding us," I said.
"We should leave," Rose said, her eyes darting all around, searching for danger.
"I think so too," Dawn said. "If there's something out there, it could come after us."
I tried to do a quick pivot to save the prank.
"Where would we go?"
I said. "Our cars are miles away. If that thing is after us, it would stalk us on the trail too, and we wouldn't have our tents made up to hide in." They looked at me with what looked like suspicion that turned into resignation.
"I guess you're right," Dawn said. "We should just go in our tents and hope that thing goes away."
"Are you kidding me?" Rose said. "Why not just wrap ourselves in a sleeping bag and serve ourselves up as burritos for that thing?"
"Don't you think you're overreacting?" I said. "We don't even know what that is. Maybe it was some animal calling for a mate."
"And that scream? Could be someone saw it and was scared."
Dawn watched our back and forth conversation.
"Let's just go in our tents," she said.
"No," Rose said. "I want to leave, right now."
"There's the trail," I said, pointing. "No one's stopping you." She looked from the trail to Dawn to me. I turned and went inside my tent. A few minutes later, I heard another tent flap rustle, followed by a third. A smile crept across my face. This was going to be fun. I was so excited I barely read any of my book. Within an hour, I heard something outside the tent, rustling through the campsite and knocking things over.
"Here we go," I whispered.
It was all I could do to stay in my tent when I heard Rose scream. There was no way I could watch Jolene chasing them around with that ridiculous mask on and not howl with laughter. I wanted to give the prank time for them to be scared before revealing our devious plan. Fits of laughter fought to escape me, but I held them in as I heard Dawn's screams join the fray. From the sound, they were all running around destroying the campsite. Between the growls, running, knocking things over, and screaming of terror, the whole cacophony of it was nearly impossible to sit through. Every inch of me was aching to jump out and yell, "Happy Halloween, we got you!" After a few minutes, the noise died down. Everyone must have gotten tired. I was still waiting for the aha moment when I heard Dawn or Rose curse at Jolene. The mask wasn't that convincing once you calmed down and got a close look at it. Any minute now. I leaned close to the wall of my tent, but all movement had stopped. It was like everyone had just laid down and took a nap. I couldn't take it any longer. I ripped open my tent and jumped out yelling, "Surprise! Happy Hollow!" The rest of the world died on my tongue. The campsite wasn't in disarray. It was destroyed. Both Dawn and Rose's tents were flattened. As I stepped closer, I saw rips and gouges in their tents as well. As I looked around the campsite at the carnage, my first thought was, "Wow, Jolene really overdid it." But that thought didn't hold for long. The more I moved through the camp, the more I saw claw marks and huge footprints, something that Jolene couldn't do. All doubts ended when I came across Dawn. She lay in a pool of blood, and at first, I thought it was a trick. That they had turned Jolene back against me, and now I had been pranked. However, that thought died a quick death when I saw Dawn's severed arm lying a few feet from her. Her eyes were wide open in shock. She looked at me with a blank stare of accusation and tried to whisper something, but I couldn't hear it. I leaned closer and she whispered again, her final words haunting me. This couldn't be Jolene. It wasn't a trick or a prank. Something real had just invaded our camp and destroyed my friend. Fear gripped me as I looked around to see if this creature was lying in wait to kill me too. As I searched the rest of the camp, hoping moment by moment that this thing was gone, I also didn't find Rose. Eventually, I found a large pool of blood not far from her tent, but nobody was around. The trail of blood led from the pool off towards the woods, and I had no desire to follow it. The next thought that came to my panicked mind was, if this wasn't Jolene, then where was she? She purposefully didn't tell me where she was hiding, so I wouldn't unintentionally give away her position by glancing at a certain spot. It was a smart plan until she went missing, and I have no idea what's going on. My next thought was calling for help, but when I got out my phone, I found it was also dead. Even though I didn't want to, I went over to Dawn's now dead body and searched for her cell phone, but I found it in pieces. There would be no call for help. Despondency smothered me and pulled me to the ground. I sat in the middle of the campsite beside a pool of blood that used to be one of my friends, only a handful of feet away from the broken body that used to be another one of my friends, having no idea where my third friend was. I had never been in such a desperate place in my life, not only physically but mentally, and I hoped I could never be in such a place again. I had no idea what to do or where to go. The realization began to set in that I had lost three of my closest friends in the space of a day. Tears flowed from my cheeks as I sat there in the growing darkness with only the embers of the dying fire to keep me company. Should I sit here and hope that help would stumble by in the form of another hiker or even better, a park ranger? It was late October, and the trails weren't very well traveled once the weather turned cold. As I sat there, a gust of wind blew through, tearing at the few remaining leaves clinging to the branches. They began to fall as if the forest was crying with me, or for me. I wish I knew what the forest knew about this thing that had destroyed my friends and my life. About how I could get out of here alive, and most of all, about what had happened to Jolene. As much as I wanted to sit here and mourn forever, I knew I couldn't. I knew I had to get up and go figure this out. How would I get out of here? How would I survive? Maybe my tent held the key. By some miracle, my tent was undamaged. I started digging through my backpack. There are always things in everyone's backpack that they have for emergencies that never happen. Usually it's a snake bite kit, a length of rope, or band-aids that seldom if ever get used. But as I was digging, I came across some things that might be useful. There was a can of pepper spray and a small pocket knife. At this point, I was happy to have anything I could use as a weapon. They went in my pocket along with the rope. So now it was decision time. Do I pack up my stuff right now and leave, hiking down the trail in the dark, having no idea if this thing is still on the hunt? Or do I lay down and get some rest? Wait for morning and hope it doesn't know I'm here. Neither one was a great option. There was no way I could even consider burying Dawn. I didn't have a shovel, and I would need all my energy to hike back out of here if I hoped to survive. Thankfully, the decision was made for me. As I lay there, mind whirling from everything that had happened, I fell asleep. I woke hours later to a bright morning sun peeking through my open tent window. I yawned and stretched, thinking about what a beautiful day it could have been when suddenly I remembered everything that had happened. That's when I heard the growling. It was just loud enough to get my attention. Fear gripped me as I tried to figure out what to do. My brain went into full useless mode as run out of the tent screaming, rose to the top of possible options. The growling didn't seem to get any closer as I laid there awaiting my fate. Encouraged by the fact that I hadn't become the monster's breakfast yet, I got up to my knees and quietly looked out the window. What I saw disgusted and enraged me. There were two mountain lions having their breakfast. Normally, I wouldn't care about such a thing more than staying as far away as possible. But today, their breakfast was my friend's dead body. I did exactly what was on the top of my brain's list. Ran out of the tent screaming. At first, I ran at them, hoping it would scare them off. They both just stopped and stared at me, as if I was some rude interloper interrupting them from having morning tea. The next thing they did was turn and take a few steps towards me. As I stared at their blood-soaked faces, I realized I had done the worst thing possible. I lowered my hands and started backing away, trying to look as non-threatening as possible. This seemed to encourage them to increase their pursuit. I was almost back to my tent, but it didn't seem like diving inside and hiding was an option now. They were aware of me and very interested in me, possibly as lunch. As my list of potential actions dwindled to wait for death, My hand brushed against my leg and I felt something in my pocket. It was the pepper spray. I pulled it out, having no idea if it even worked on cats, and aimed it at them. They didn't slow in the slightest. It looked like a stream of water sprayed out of a can and landed on the first cat's eyes. Its reaction was immediate. It let out a massive yowl and began clawing at its face. The second paused in confusion, watching its companion devolve into convulsions of pain. When it looked back at me, I had already sprayed its face, causing the same reaction. For a long moment, I was treated to the insanely comical sight of these two predators twirling in circles, trying to claw their own faces off. And then the impossible happened. They both decided breakfast wasn't worth the cost of admission and ran off. I looked down at this small, innocuous-looking spray can that just saved my life. It was tempting to give it a kiss in celebration, but I didn't want to take any chances of getting any spray on me. Writhing in pain wasn't high on my list of things to do today. Having just escaped death, I decided on my plan of action. My backpack was packed in under a half an hour and I was on the trail, having said my goodbyes to Dawn and what was left of Rose. A sharp pang of guilt stabbed at me as I left the campsite. Dawn's last whispered words haunted me. "Shouldn't have come." She was right, of course. If any of us had known what was about to happen, there was no way we should have been there. But that's the whole point of life, I guess. None of us know what's going to happen at any moment. As if I wasn't depressed enough as I was, that thought sent me into near panic as my eyes darted all around searching for danger. Now it wasn't only the monster, but the mountain lions and any other creatures whose home I had invaded. Right then I knew I would never visit this place again. Even the woodland creatures were quiet out of respect for my fallen friends. Wait, how would they know? As if in answer, the monster stepped out onto the trail and stared down at me. It was massive. I had never seen anything that tall. Not only was it tall, but its shoulders were a good 5 feet wide. It was covered in dark fur that had splotches of wet, dark stains down the front of it. My mind told me that that was all that was left of Rose. It unleashed a deafening roar that made a small river flow down my pant leg. My mind was like a little dog chasing its tail, trying to figure out what to do. As I stood there, frozen to the spot, it took 2 steps and was right in front of me. When it reached for me, some basic survival mode kicked in, and I went back to the last thing that had saved my life. I whipped out the pepper spray and emptied the can into the monster's face. It reared back and screamed so loud I had to hold my ears as it ran around and sprinted down the trail. My heart was pumping adrenaline. My feet barely touched the ground. I had never run so fast in my entire life. The trees were a blur as I wound back and forth along the trail. All I could think was, just get away, just get away. As hope soared that I might be able to do just that, I heard a noise coming from behind me. It was the bulldozer with legs. I heard pounding and crashing as if something was destroying whatever got in its way. I glanced back and the monster was gaining on me, but it was flailing its arms around in front of it as if to protect its eyes from whatever was there. That momentary distraction was just enough. My foot caught on a branch I wasn't looking for and I went tumbling full speed off the trail and into the brush. I hit a tree hard with my back. I was sure I'd heard a crack. It was all I could do just to stay conscious. I watched through bleary eyes as the monster ran past me on the trail. There was no way I could celebrate or even move. Running so fast for so long had taken its toll, and now having fallen and possibly injuring my back had just added to my immobility. It took me a few long moments to catch my breath. Once I did, I slowly moved body parts to make sure they still worked. I saved the worst for last. Trying to sit up caused pain to shoot down my back. That wasn't a good sign. It seemed like I would be here for a little bit, at least until I recovered enough to make another try for my car. I knew it was less than a half a mile away, but right now I couldn't even think about getting up the walk, let alone run. I painfully pulled my backpack off and sat it beside me. Next, I tried to cover myself and my pack with the loose leaves that blanketed the ground. Within 10 minutes, I was satisfied that no one would be able to see me from the trail without looking very closely. There was a peephole I had left open to keep an eye on the trail. The monster would be back eventually, and there was no doubt about that. Once it realized I wasn't on the trail anymore, it would backtrack looking for me. Spraying it may have saved my life, but it also doomed me to be its enemy forever. It would search high and low to find me. I was as sure about that as anything. Even though it was mid-morning, the trees here were dense and light had to filter through a lot of them to make it to the ground. Reaching into my pack, I pulled out my reading light, which was surprisingly still in one piece. I used it to check my wounds and found they were mostly cuts and scrapes. As my adrenaline crashed, I could feel myself being once again dragged into unconsciousness. My eyes drooped, then suddenly shot open as I heard something. The part of the trail I could see through my peephole was quite small. I leaned to the left a little bit, trying not to make any sound. That's when I heard the sniffing and saw the monster coming slowly back up the trail. It was on all fours, smelling the ground. One eye looked like it was swollen shut, and the other was bloodshot. It got to the point in the trail where I had fallen and stopped, then turned to look right at me. My blood turned to liquid nitrogen. The monster stalked straight towards me as if it could see me plain as day. I glanced down and realized to my horror that my reading light was still on. I panicked. If I turned it off, the monster would know I was there. If I left it on, it was a beacon leading right towards me. I gently pulled it from around my neck, trying to move it as little as possible. Once I had it off me, I set it on top of my backpack so it was at the same level as it had been around my neck. As I slid away from my pack, I reached into my pocket and pulled out the knife, then opened it. The monster was so close I could smell the stench of death coming from its mouth. It got right up to the light and brushed the leaves away to see what this thing was. There was only one shot for me to survive. I swung the knife with all my strength I had left, stabbing it in the eye that wasn't swollen. It reared back and screamed in pain. I didn't wait around to see what was going to happen. Every ounce of energy I had went to running away from this homicidal monster. My back screamed at me, but I ignored it. The creature screamed again, this time in rage rather than pain. It tore off after me, but couldn't see, so it ended up slamming into a tree 3 feet behind me. My legs kept pumping, driving by sheer terror. As I glanced back, I saw the monster listening to me run away. It followed my sounds and ran after me again. I pivoted and ran up the side of the trail just in time to make it miss me and fall face first on the trail. It wasn't far to the trailhead now. I knew it was getting close. There was a hard turn in the trail where I had to be careful with my footing. It was narrow, and there was a steep drop that ended in a river far below. I ran to where the turn was and suddenly stopped. The monster had gotten up and was listening for me again. It was a gamble, but I stood at the turn and jogged in place as though I was still running away. It listened, then launched itself towards me. As soon as it began to run, I quickly stepped out around the corner and softly walked down the trail a few feet. If my gamble paid off, I would be home free. If it didn't, I'd be dead. Time slowed as the beast galloped towards the turn. I watched and waited until finally, I saw the bloody fur of its face with the knife still sticking out. At the last moment, it seemed to sense me around the corner and tried the turn, but momentum had already carried it past me, and it had no chance of staying on the trail. I leaned over and watched as it fell helplessly over the edge and tumbled down to the water below, hitting its head on several trees as it went. It had just come to rest at the bottom when I took off running. The trailhead loomed in front of me, and I didn't want to take any chances of that thing recovering and catching me before I got to my car. I had never seen a more beautiful sight than my beat-up Toyota Corolla. When I approached it, I paused yet again and looked around for who or what might be watching me. Hanging from my driver's side mirror was the mask Jolene had worn. I took it off the mirror and looked at it in shock and confusion. Inside was a note. There was a crash from the woods that told me the monster hadn't given up. I jumped in the car, threw the mask on the passenger seat, and broke every speed law getting out of the park. Even once I was on the main road, I pushed the pedal down to make the car as fast as it could. My speedometer needle was vibrating when I hit 80. It wasn't until I was close to home that I slowed down. I got out and went into my tiny house, bringing the mask. I collapsed on the couch as my back complained. I would have to schedule an appointment with my chiropractor. Once I was safely inside, I picked up the mask and pulled out the note. It read, "I'm sorry to leave without telling you. The girls were coming up the trail and I was about to jump out at them when I saw this monster following them through the woods. I couldn't warn them or you without the monster seen. When they set up their tents, it was watching from the edge of the woods. I panicked and quickly left while it was busy watching the camp. I hope you're alive to read this, and if you could someday forgive me." I laid the note beside me on the couch, and all I could think of as tears streaming down my cheeks was Dawn's final words to me. "Shouldn't have come."